Welcome to Tech Bytes, a 15-minute conversation on new and compelling ideas in IT. Our sponsor today is Viavi Solutions, and we're going to talk about the four phases of scaling your remote workforce. Our guest is Bill Proctor. He is Customer Success Manager at Viavi. And Bill, welcome to Tech Bytes. Can you get us started with a quick overview of Viavi?
Absolutely. Viavi Solutions is a testing and network monitoring company that focuses in on telecommunication companies and large and small enterprises and provides tools to test and give you visibility into your network and help you pinpoint problems as quickly as possible.
Fantastic. So our conversation today is about scaling your remote workforce, and you have outlined four phases to get this done. What are those phases?
Phase one really is just, can we get the darn thing up and running? Most of us already had VPN. It was already running. Great. Let's make sure that it's in a state that we can have all these people start connecting up. Phase two being, how am I actually going to validate that it is working and meeting expectations? Phase three is, now that I have some amount of monitoring going on, can I help predict what the future looks like as we bring more and more people into the environment, and then go back to phase one to make changes and so on? Mm-hmm. And then phase four is, now that we've gone past all of that stuff and things appear to be working pretty well, even though I've got some visibility gaps, I need to start securing this environment, because we've kind of gone outside of that initial, you know, we won't allow these things to occur. But in order to meet this new crisis that we're in, we had to go outside of those, you know, scopes.
I call it Corona formation.
Yes.
That's digital transformation that we have when we didn't want to have transformation, but it's being forced on us. So all of a sudden, people are working from home. We're all there. And the VPN, which was sort of like an accessory, and none of the managers liked it because they much more liked seeing people because they're all stuck in the 1940s. Now, if I've got VPNs at the remote site, I've got no visibility except what the VPN client gives me, which is, well, zero. So what is it that Viavi does? Let's start with the monitoring part. What are you going to do if I've got a Viavi solution to monitor what's happening across those, you know, everybody who's suddenly working from home?
Yeah, so what we're doing is we're looking at different points on the network, whether it be pre and post your F5 VIP, pre and post your firewall, your routers, your switches. And we're taking all of the packet-based data that's coming in, or we're taking in flow-based data from all of these devices and syslog and WMI and SNMP to help these devices tell you and give you a visibility fabric of what's happening on your network. Mm-hmm. And then within a simple couple of clicks, go, I see that there is a problem. Click, tell me what the problem is. And it will tell you that it's isolated directly to a server specific issue or a network specific mm-hmm. issue, because we spend way too much time as network engineers defending mm-hmm. the network. The key of this thing is, if it's a network problem, you know it immediately and you know what to go do to fix it. And if it's not a network problem, you can give it to somebody else and you can go back to what you want to be doing.
So there's two things there. One is the mean time to innocence. It's not the network, or it is the network. Doesn't really matter either way.
Correct.
If it is the network, you can own up and look good, because the faster you get to that point of saying, yes, it's a network, I need to work on it, people mm-hmm. respect that, and that's valuable. Get you respect with your coworkers. But there's also mean time to repair. So when you say you're monitoring, what exactly, how exactly are we going to do that? What does Viavi bring to the table there?
So we've got two main products, Gigastore, mm-hmm. which actually is a large capture appliance that also creates mm-hmm. metadata based upon all the packets, mm-hmm. and another product called Gigaflow, which is not just a traditional NetFlow product. It does NetFlow, SFlow, JFlow, VPCFlow, pulls in syslog information from all of your different devices. It's able to, you know, integrate into your LDAP directory services to tie usernames to flow records. And so by providing and receiving all of that data, we're mm-hmm. able to help you understand exactly at any point on your network where your problem lies and exactly what that problem is, with only a few clicks.
Right. So I've got a tool that collects all the packets and then starts to give me analysis of that. So I could look at all the way down to packets if that's what I want, mm-hmm. or I can go to something a little simpler, a little more practical for most people, which is the Gigaflow, which is a flow recorder. But this mm-hmm. is an appliance-based flow recorder. So I put it in my network, in my front end, where my VPN concentrator is, or in the network, send the flow records to it. And now I've got a visibility tool based around XFlow collection or IPFix or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. There is a software version as well. So you don't have to buy our hardware. So if you mm-hmm. need to put it into a VM or whatever, go right ahead. And the nice thing is that we actually integrate both the flow data and the packet data into our reporting. Actually, next week, we're releasing version 18 of our product. We've been around for this BU that I work for over 20 years. And we're actually integrating all of the flow data that we're collecting from the GigaFlow appliance and all of our packet-based data into our GigaStore. So I can literally see, here's my WAN interface. Here's the users who are on it. Here's the utilization. Oh, by the way, on top of that, here are the KPIs that you need to understand simply beyond bandwidth utilization, which is where primarily most of my customers are at today. What's my bandwidth look like across all these devices? Oh, I've got enough bandwidth. Obviously, things are fine, but we're still getting phone calls because of performance issues, but we've added enough bandwidth, right? So we're now at that phase two, phase three spot.
Yeah, let's tie this back to the phases. So phase one was duct tape together a bunch of VPN tunnels, just get it out there and running. Phase two, I've got monitoring set up so I can see what's happening. You mentioned phase three is more around predictive analytics. Can you drill into that?
Yeah, so this is looking at how has my data increased over this time period, comparing to where I was 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, as we're bringing more people into this, you must work from home. Am I going to be able to stay status quo with what I have? If not, where do I think it's going to go based upon that growth rate? I've got 1,000 users in my company. I see that I only have 500 people connected up right now, and I'm already at 90% capacity. I need to go do something.
Right.
What does that look like? And that brings you back to phase one.
Right. So I can use the GigaFlow or the GigaStore product to start seeing how much bandwidth is coming in, and then I can start to extrapolate link load utilization. But I can also be tuning it towards application parts as well. So I could create a view that says core line of business application or response times to the email server or something like that. I can actually be sitting there on the collecting flow data from the VPN or near to the VPN and then watching the performance of applications for users.
Absolutely. And not only that, you can get all the way down to what the transactions were across dozens of different applications. So I can see that users who are coming into VPC located in Sacramento, which is one of our data centers, are talking to services that are front-ended in Denver, Colorado, which have middle tiers that are inside of Germantown, but have a back end that's up in the cloud. And I can trace that, and I can see on a single screen, here is that user against that interface, and here are all of the services that they're supporting. And by the way, it's your middle tier that is causing a problem, because every time somebody sends a SQL query for this right here, you get a really bad response time. It's not a network problem, guys. Give it over to the database team. Here's the database query that they were calling.
And that's going to be critical when you're dealing with a huge force of remote workers, because anytime an end user has a problem, they're going to say, it's this VPN, it's slow, which doesn't help the admin teams at all.
Exactly.
So getting that kind of detail, which you can then pass on to folks who can actually do something about it, is key.
I once used a tool like this to actually debug a problem. The customer had an app, and working remotely, it used to take 10 minutes for the opening window of the app to run. And when I went in with the packet capture, what we actually saw was there was a database query on the home webpage, which loaded up 75,000 records. And that was why it took so long. And so we took the data back to the developer and said, can't you just do a partial SQL query? And all of a sudden, this company, it cut millions out of this company's budget, because all they did was, so when you scrolled down, it would then query the next.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Now, I want to ask a question about synthetic testing. Is this something that VRV does and you can add to the product?
Actually, we've got a number of different product lines that do synthetic testing. We have a product line as part of our Observer fleet that's based upon a SaaS-based version that we had launched a couple of years ago. That is a little appliance. It's like a Raspberry Pi size box that you can put into different remote data centers, different locations, and then you set it up to do active testing. And so it sits there and queries into those applications that you want it to be accessing. It's making telephony phone calls. It's doing trace routes. It's doing lots of things and reports all that stuff back to you in real time. So as you have a customer who is using a product, they stop using, they walk away, you can be alerted that, hey, I'm starting to get degradation on this thing before that guy comes back to his desk and is calling because something's wrong.
So yeah, there's a few things there. One is I found synthetic testing very useful because obviously the user isn't always there and they're reporting constant problems. And then you run a synthetic test and you find out either they are having constant problems or it's only when the user's running, which sort of indicates that the problem's with the chair to keyboard interface, or maybe they're streaming Netflix at the same time. But the other one is I found synthetic testing really useful for testing out of hours. So this comes more down to an SD-WAN type of thing where you have a service, but you might want to run tests on Saturday to baseline the network when it's unloaded and then compare those tests out of hours. Or if you want to do load testing, you can do a sort of a so. So having synthetic testing as part of your suite is actually more valuable than most people imagine, I think.
Absolutely. I agree with that statement. The biggest challenge that we have is that nobody has the time to sit there and just click on a button all day long to understand what's going on. And services can only be reported on at a point in time that it is being utilized. So having something that can 24/7, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, be making these calls, transactions that are business critical, and being able to know about them ahead of time before customers are calling you that there are problems and getting out there and getting them solved makes your life as an engineer so much easier.
Now let's address the security issue, because that is key and it may be being sort of shunted aside in the early days when you're trying to roll up a new remote work strategy. But once you've got a second to breathe and kind of take stock, how are folks bringing security back into their strategy?
Yeah, so the biggest challenge that my customers have been facing is that they've had to break security policies that they've had in order to protect the network, such as we will not allow a non-company-issued laptop, company-issued cellular phone, whatever, to connect up to our network because we have no control over it. Mm-hmm. But in order for this new age to occur, most companies didn't issue 100% of coverage with laptops for employees.
Right.
So now they've got a chunk of their workforce that's using their own personal computer systems. So some of the strategies, and probably the most popular one that I've seen, is by using certificates, getting certificates installed onto a computer system that they can be validated upon the initial login allows the company to understand that this is a system that was issued by us. I can control and make sure it's up to date and make sure it's got virus scans that are up to date and so on. This other system does not have this. I'm going to allow it to connect, but I'm going to treat that traffic differently. I'm going to prevent traffic from this device from gaining access to these core things directly, where if it was on my company laptop, I'd allow it. Mm. And then on top of that, the data that is happening on my network that is based upon that initial IP is going to be monitored through our security tools to make sure that I have something that's saying a user on a non-company issued device that has accessed my network is going out and talking to rogue actors. And I need to be able to isolate that very quickly to get that thing disconnected from my network and have tools that can monitor that and report on it for me. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the great things about the Viavi solution product set that we offer, is that we do that for you on your behalf, right? So you can set up profiles, you can set up different types of whitelists and blacklists, so you can know immediately that an unauthorized or an unknown entity is accessing my secure data center, but only these systems are supposed to be there, but why is this guy even trying to get there? I'm glad my firewall is blocking it and Gigaflow is telling me it's blocking it because it's violated an ACL. Great. What the heck is on that computer system? It's somebody who's not part of my organization.
There are some data loss solutions that actually link into flow data as well that can be integrated sometimes. So if you want to, or malware systems for that matter, they're not necessarily perfect, but they can be a very good starting point in the situation we're in at the moment, where you could at least get some policy on the boundary where the VPN concentrator is, using flow records and integrating with this for visibility and then also for positive action in a security context.
Yeah, it's primarily making sure that you have a way to identify a non-company issued asset on your network so you can treat the data differently, and making sure that you have some ability to monitor the data on your network that is going to potentially bad actors, and being able to get them kicked off your network as quickly as possible and assess what happened pre and post, right? And that right now for a lot of people that's a very difficult thing to be able to do with our product set here at Viavi. It's not.
So what I want to do is just summarize what I think we talked about today, Bill. So correct me where I get things wrong here. First of all, just get things up and running, right? That's the most important part. When you've got that solution in place, you're going to start to feel the pain because you're going to need monitoring. And that's phase two. And that's where we can start to bring in the GigaStore and the GigaFlow products to start getting us some visibility so we can see what's happening in there and see the applications. And then phase three is to be able to start using the same tools to see and predict what's going to happen, because this crisis isn't going to be over in a couple of weeks. It's going to be a few months long and maybe even longer. And that predictability is going to be the next phase. And then finally, once you've got yourself under control and you feel like you know where you are, you know where your mean time to innocence and your mean time to recovery is, you can start thinking about security. And we've got a whole bunch of tools in the VRV tool suite where using the data that we've got to start adding something to the security profile and probably working with or cooperating with or adding tools to it. And we can take it from there. So how did that go? Did I get the 4 points?
Awesome. Yeah, Greg, you hit all the 4 points.
So that's all the time we have for today. But Bill, for folks who want to find out more, where would you send them?
So if you want to get more information about Viavi Solutions, especially with the tool set that we've been talking about today, you can head over to viavisolutions.com/enterprise. That's viavisolutions.com/enterprise. We actually have a dedicated landing page for packet pushers as well. There's got a lot of really cool free content there, some links to previous things, and there's a free protocol poster that you can get from there as well. That's viavisolutions.com/packet pushers. This topic that we've been dealing with today is really, really vast and broad. And if you want to get more information about these challenges that we're experiencing, we actually have some virtual meetups that are going on, and you can get more information from that on that Packet Pushers page.
All right. So if you want to sign up for one of those virtual meetups, so that is again, viavisolutions.com/packet pushers. Bill, thank you for joining us. And thank you to Viavi Solutions for being a sponsor. You can find this and many more fine free technical podcasts along with our community blog. That's at packetpushers.net. You can follow us on Twitter at Packet Pushers. Find us on LinkedIn and like us on Facebook. Rate us on Apple Podcasts. And last but not least, remember that too much networking would never be enough.